Hey everybody, we have a session for you this evening, recorded live in the library, featuring the Sophia Goodman Group from Nashville. Playing guitar is Rial Janelle, the sax player is Simon Yeh, the bass player is Stuart Kane, Sophia playing drums.
Thank you. This is Sophia. That song was Stepping Stones, and this is my group. We're called the Sophia Goodman Group. I'm a drummer and composer, and on guitar, I've got my husband, Rael Janelle, and on sax, I've got Simon Yeh, and on bass, I've got Stuart Karen. And this next song is called Hope, and I hope you like it.
Thank you.
All right, this next song is one of the first songs that I've ever written. Definitely for this group, it was the first song. It's called Have You Seen Bess? And Bess is not a person, but it has to do with ancient Egyptian stuff.
Thank you.
Are you a full-time musician?
I'm actually a student, and I'm a teacher.
You're a student?
Yeah.
At Belmont?
Yep. Teach a lot of drum lessons, and I do some freelancing, and when this band can make money, it does.
How long have you been at Belmont?
This is my second year there. I'm getting a composition degree, so I'll be done in December. I have my undergrad in performance, so I wanted to go to college again and work on another skill that I had been exploring but really wanted to learn more about.
Are you from Nashville originally?
No, I'm from outside of Boston.
Oh, I hear it now when you say Boston. Yeah. Was the drum your first instrument?
Actually, piano was my first instrument, but I didn't stick with it. And I started playing drums when I was about 13. And I actually, when I first started playing drums, I really liked punk rock. So I really like rebellious things, I guess. And so I think the message of punk rock at the, you know, was really inspiring to me in a way. And a lot of my friends happened to be into it too. So, you know, we would go and see shows, and I'd go into the city and see shows and local bands. And then as I got a little bit older into high school, I got more into jazz and just different, kind of opened my mind to different types of music. And I always had like different types of music. Even as a kid, I would sing a lot and give performances to my mother and her friends and try to sing operatic versions of Whitney Houston, which probably sounded absolutely bizarre from a little kid at the time. But I really liked a lot of different styles growing up. But when I first started playing, yeah, I was into punk rock. And then I got into more types of rock, prog rock, and jazz, especially after my music teacher had recommended that I go to a Berklee summer program. And at the Berklee summer program, I got placed into an ensemble, and the teacher was Esperanza Spalding. And I don't know if you know her, but she's an absolutely phenomenal Grammy Award-winning bassist and singer. So she actually inspired me to play more jazz, and she was really supportive. So after that, I would go into the city a lot, and I would kind of sneak out. That summer I had met a lot of older friends that I got into a lot of trouble with, and I would go to Boston and smoke weed and go to a jazz club and be like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing. This is where I want to be. And there's a great music scene in Boston for the Berklee College of Music being right there, and New England Conservatory and BU. There's just a lot of students, and there's a lot of different cultures too that the city has to offer, which is really enriching. And I grew up in the suburbs, so culturally there wasn't that much to offer. So going to Boston, even though it was 20 minutes away, just it was like a new world to me.
What was it about punk that you found so attractive?
I think just that it was rebellious, and I guess growing up felt a little bit different, felt like a little bit of a loner. And I think that it was an outlet for me to feel like that was actually cool.
So that was the message that you were taking from it, that you could be yourself. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, I think so. And I also think that it was kind of a message of, you know, you don't have to conform to what society is programmed you to be, programmed everyone to be. Everybody has a specific stereotype that society assigns them. And I liked that there was a rebellion against that within the music.
It strikes me that Esperanza's music has the energy of punk. She may not be a punk, but the way she plays music, it has that same energy, that same fierce sense of liberation in her music.
Yeah, I think she doesn't care. You know, when she first came out on the scene, the critics were not totally kind to her. Of course, a lot of people really recognized how amazing of a talent she was, but I think like as an artist, like she had to kind of overcome that a little bit. Her last album, which I think was 12 Little Spells, that actually just won a Grammy. It's really avant-garde. So I think that she doesn't care. I think she's been quoted saying something similar to that she's not trying to conform to a jazz standard, which there's a lot of people that in any genre of music think that the genre should be a certain way and you can't deviate too much from what is traditional of the genre. And she just makes her art.
What's your feeling about that, about genre?
Genre is something that record labels put us into so that they can market us.
That's true. So first as a performer and now as a composer, who do you listen to and who do you model yourself on?
I listen to a lot of different styles of music. I really am all over the place. Sometimes I'm listening to Phil Collins and sometimes I'm listening to Pat Metheny and sometimes I'm listening to Billie Eilish and sometimes I'm listening to Motown. And I really like to listen to a lot of different things. I like listening to classical. I've been listening to a lot of John Williams scores, film scores. I love all different types of music. And when I'm writing music, sometimes I'll sit down at a piano and a melody will come into my head and I'll start moving with the melody. Sometimes it will be a progression that I later come with a melody. Sometimes it's a groove that I base things off of. Sometimes it's, well, we have a lot of songs that rock really hard and maybe I want something that I can play in a club that's not going to overpower everything in the room. So sometimes I am writing for a specific place, and when we are able to play out music, I want to play original stuff of mine that fits but is also still myself.
What I found interesting listening to you play, it sits somewhere between jazz and rock.
Yeah, and definitely the material that we played today was more of our rock material because I could get away with playing as loud as I want in here, which I can't always do, especially if I'm in a jazz club and there's a small bass drum. I can't get away with double bass because it'll clip, and just with the size of the drum just doesn't work. And some styles I think really require that you hit the drum harder. They just sound better when you hit the drum a little bit harder. So knowing that we could control that here and that wouldn't be an issue, I definitely selected our heavier songs.
So you started playing the piano and you said that you write at the piano, and I'm wondering, as a drummer, does that affect the way you listen to music?
Yeah, I think that any musician, they start to hear music differently. When you start playing an instrument, you start to hear it from a different perspective. So definitely as a drummer, you listen to the rhythm more.
You know, you mentioned Phil Collins and Pat Metheny, who's at least the most recent record that just released this week.
I haven't heard it yet, but I heard that it was released, I think, like last Friday or something.
Really good.
I heard it was amazing.
And Antonio Sanchez is still playing drums
yeah,
with
him. He's the best.
And he plays like you.
Oh, my God.
You know, he's got that same energy and that same... It's not jazz drumming. It is jazz drumming with the energy of a rock drummer.
A lot of his playing, I hear his playing is a lot... influenced by Afro-Latin rhythms, really, which if jazz has been fused right since the beginning of jazz in the United States, it's been fused with Afro-Latin rhythms. So I think, like, when I listen to his playing, I think he's got an amazing, amazing touch, but also an intensity, which with drums being an acoustic instrument that they are, you don't have a volume knob, so you have to really have great control to be dynamic. And that's one of the hardest things, I think, as technically on the instrument.
But that seems to me that's what you were shooting for.
Yeah.
So your music doesn't sound to me like a drummer's music, but the drums obviously have a strong presence in what you're playing. when you put the band together, what were you looking for?
What was I looking for? I guess I just was looking for people to play my music, and I had written and recorded some variations of some of the songs in Boston. And when I moved to Nashville, I met my husband, who is playing guitar today, and he was great, especially when I first put the band together, just helping me get everything together, especially as with some of the first charts that I presented to the band. That was great. And I guess I was looking for any players, because a lot of times I have to use different players, because the way it is to be a professional musician these days, it's with a jazz group, and especially the type of music that we're doing, it doesn't fit in a box. And maybe at the time, maybe it's not very marketable. I don't know. I'm open to that changing, though. But having to change players a lot, I have to make sure that as a band leader, my charts are right for them. And when I look for different players, I want them to be able to play jazz and have almost a jazz mentality, but also be able to play like a rock player and not be too much, not necessarily too much into, but have too much of the style of jazz from maybe the swing era or even earlier types of jazz. I want the players to all know the music, but come at it with a different approach. That when somebody says jazz, I think a lot of people think cocktail music or something in a quiet wedding or you know, in the background.
I think a lot of people don't know what to think when you say jazz. That's been my experience. It's interesting that your husband is a guitar player, because you play very closely together, which stands to reason, at least the music you play today. Then you have the bass player.
Yep, that's Stuart Karen. Yeah. Yep.
Stuart's playing, you know, sounds like Marcus Miller. He plays like Marcus Miller, that kind of sound, you know?
Oh, I'll be sure to tell him that if he's not hearing that right now.
Because I kept thinking, I think, you know, he has on his bag, it says Marcus Miller. And I kept listening to him, and that sounds like Marcus. It's a very melodic style of playing, almost like a lead bass.
Wow. You know? I was telling him earlier that I thought one of his strengths is his rhythm, his sense of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
When he's like able to lock in with the groove in the band, that his rhythm is, he's good at following me, especially when we're improvising and we're just really into a jam. He's got pretty good ears and creating a pocket, which to me is all about rhythm. But yeah, he has some good lines too.
He does. He is a very rhythmic player, but at the same time, he's playing almost like a melodic counterpoint a lot of the time, which is really a nice touch to the music. And then your sax player.
Yeah, that's Simon Ye, and yeah, he's great. Actually, he's actually been with the group. We started playing at the end of 2016. We started playing Have You Seen Bess, and I think we were playing Orbital Nebula. And he, in 2017, he started playing with us, and he's the one that's on the record, Myriad of Flowers. And yeah, he's a great player, really musical. And these songs are hard on the saxophone player. It's a lot of blowing. You have to really have some chops to be able to keep up with it. So it's always great to have him on. I love using Simon. And he's fun. He's fun on the road.
Of the four instruments in the band, it would seem to me that maybe the saxophone is the hardest one for you to write for.
Oh, yeah. So usually when I'm writing, I'll have chords, and I'll let Rael, the guitar, my husband on guitar, I'll let him voice it most of the time, how he likes to voice it. We also play sometimes with a keys player too. So, and some songs I've just got chords. Some songs I have very specific voicings for the keys. And saxophone is a weird instrument, because you always have to be careful of the range and how much breath is going on. It's not like a piano where you can just keep it keep it playing, and it doesn't, they're not gonna, you know, he's gonna run out of breath at some point. And also, you know, certain things just are in their range and certain things are not. So you always have to think about that when you're writing. And I've definitely learned a lot writing for saxophone, and just things not to do, by basically by process of elimination, or whatever you would call that, trial and error, things that works and things that don't work.
It's almost like writing for a singer, I would think.
Yeah. I could definitely see that.
We'll be right back.
All right, so that tune was called Orbital Nebula. It's basically like a blues, but it's in 1716 and 2116. And I would say it was really inspired by Mahavishnu Orchestra. I don't know if anybody's listened to them before, but also with kind of a twist. I would say today's set is a lot of our more aggressive type of material. I definitely have a lot of roots in rock, and I don't like to put myself in a box with music and playing. So I love jazz and I love rock, and my group really fuses those together. And sometimes you might listen to some of my music and it might sound really jazzy, and sometimes it might sound really rockin' and funky. So I'm just open to anything, and depending on where we play, it's what we play. All right, well, this last tune is called Navigator.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Sophia Goodman Group recorded live in the library. They're based in Nashville. They're coming back to town to play at the Chattanooga Market later on in the summer. These sessions are recorded on Wednesday afternoons in the state-of-the-art recording studio. It's on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library in downtown. The recordings of bands often based in Chattanooga, but not always, are produced, engineered, and mixed by the redoubtable Sam Mensah. The executive producers for Live in the Library are me for WUTC and Sam for the Library, and we'll have another session, as we always do, next Thursday at 7, recorded live in the Chattanooga Library. I'm Richard Winham. Thanks for listening.